1 Corinthians 1:5, you guys should know it by now. That in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge. Once again, enriched in who? God, yes. God, of course, God. That we be enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge and everything we say and do, and hopefully in everything that the people we gather with say and do. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning. About the people that we gather with, and the gatherings in general, really, is what we're going to talk about this morning. But what have we talked about so far? Well, we walked through the Trinity, more or less, right? We talked about, and we've really only just barely scratched the surface about how each member of the Trinity enriches our lives. And we could spend the entire, well, I would say the entire year talking about that, but, you know, I don't even think, you know, we would still scratch the surface. We talked about how God enriches our lives through His presence in our lives. We talked about Jesus enriching our lives by being that physical presence among us when He came, when He left heaven to take on that human form, to take on us, to be that physical representation, and also to be that revelation of God, to show us how to live a life with God, to show us how to relate to God, to talk to God, to be His children. We talked about the Spirit last week, how the Spirit enriches our lives. Once again, it's that presence of God in us, in our lives. He is that presence. And this time taking up residence inside everyone that calls on Jesus as Savior, as Redeemer, as God. He takes up residence inside of us. He leads us. He guides us. Remember, He intercedes for us too, with those, when there's those groanings too deep for words. And He intercedes to God for us because He prays for us the will of the God, will of the Father, because He is God. So they speak the same language better than we do. And He's a reminder of Emmanuel. God with us, literally with us, in us, through us. And that's what we've talked about so far, about how God enriches our lives. This week we're going to talk about how we should be enriching each other and enriching others. Not just each other, but others as well. So, before we get started, how would you say that we, collectively, should be enriching each other or enriching others? How do we do that? Encourage each other, pray for each other. There's more of that intercession. Okay? What else? Any other ideas? By the way we live our lives. Okay. What else? Anything? Once again, we could try to talk about that all day long and then just barely scratch the surface about how we enrich each other and enrich others' lives. Why do we gather together like this every week? You know, we come together every week. Why are we here? Well, we're here to worship God first and foremost, right? That's primary one. You know, when I worked in the factory, when there was something broken and it was an emergency, it was a P1 thing. This is a P1 thing, is worship God. Everything else falls in line underneath of that. Worship God first. That's the first thing. So we worship God, we worship the God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Heavenly Father. That's why we're here. But why do we gather in this particular building with this particular group of people? That one I want an answer to, if I can. Why do we gather here? Because what? Now everybody's talking at once. What? Yeah, we draw from each other. I heard laughing. Now what? That counts. Depends on the day. Fair enough. And how true that is, right? Yeah, you know, you're not being very enriching to me today. Let's go over to this guy over here. You know, yeah, I mean, that's fair. Okay. Anything else on why we gather here like this? We like each other to worship together. We draw on each other. Does. Absolutely. Have you read ahead? No. Yes, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely it does. But we gather, you know, this relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, is it something that's strictly between us and Him? I mean, it's a personal relationship, right? We all have to have this one-on-one relationship with God. That is so important to have. And, you know, this one-on-one relationship with Jesus. And, you know, but does it go further than that? Does it extend beyond the one-on-one? Yes, because that's what this is all about. We draw from each other. We like each other. We gather together. The Bible says to do this kind of stuff, but just because the Bible says it doesn't mean that we always listen to that. We have to be transformed into that sometimes and gather into that. But on this personal level, that one-on-one, it should extend beyond that one-on-one level as well. Into others and into this community, this family that we've called, that we've been called into. It extends beyond that. And that's the primary point of the whole go and make disciples thing. You know, Jesus didn't say, hey, have a relationship with me and just hang out. Just with me, you know, and just, you're good. No, He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. If it was just between us and God or us and Jesus, then what's the go part all about? Go where? You're all I've got. You're all I need. It says to say here. No, He says, go, make disciples of all nations, all peoples, all kinds of folks. Go. Make relationships. Build relationships. Make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything, all that I've commanded you. And by the way, I'm going to be with you while you're doing it. So you're not alone. You're not alone. So how important is it for us to come together to nurture this relationship? Is that something that's important in your life? I certainly hope so. Certainly hope so. Is it a part of our relationship with God? Yes, it's definitely a part of our relationship with God. There you go. There you go, Sharon. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. As is the habit of some. But encouraging one another. There's that encouragement, that drawing that we like each other. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Or as you see the day drawing near, yeah. Obviously, my favorite part of this is how to stir up one another. You know, I've got a knack for that. Some might call it a gift. It's a blessing, right? Oh. Stir one another up. Seriously, though, look at that. Consider how to stir one another up. And since we're here this morning, let's just look at our gathering on Sunday mornings as this example of stirring one another up. What are the motivations that most likely come to mind when it comes to deciding, am I going to go to church this morning or not? What are things that go through your head or things that you picture in general as a generic answer to this, if somebody was asked that? What are the motivating factors of deciding whether or not to be here this morning, to come to church in the morning, on Sunday mornings? Avery said she didn't have a choice. Wrong. Any answers?
Because you're tired.
Because you're tired? What, so you get to rest and sleep while I'm talking, or what? Okay. Okay. Because you're tired. Going to, what, is there more to that? Oh, okay, that, gotcha, okay. Okay, I'm too tired to go. Okay, gotcha. What else? What about the factors of actually coming, though? Makes you feel good. All right, what else? Thank you, that's one that I was looking for. What else? Okay. Once again, first and foremost, that motivation should be what?
Worship
God. But so many other times, from that point on, it's me. I need filled. I need this, or it's fun. Church is fun, as Audrey says, or, you know, I look forward to seeing the people there. You know, it makes me feel good. The me factor. You know, we're always looking out for number one, number one, number one. And that's great to come and to want to be filled, to want to be enriched, to want to have that relationship and have people pour into me and give me that acknowledgement and give me that attention and give me that love and give me that concern. How many times have you ever made this decision to say, I'm going to go to church because I need to pour into this person? Flip the script. That the primary is God. That the secondary is not what's in it for me, but what can I give to someone else? And I'm not talking about the person that stands up here and talks to y'all. I'm talking to y'all. Individually on that decision. To pour in and to stir one another up to good works. Somebody needs to come into church one day and say, I'm going to go stir up Neil because he needs to be getting some good works done. Or Wes. I saw Mom poking him. Yeah. But that should be a motivating factor for us, is what I'm getting at here. This gathering together and this connection and relationship that we should have. How am I going to pour into X, Y, Z, and all the above today? And I'm only using the Sunday morning. This stretches way beyond Sunday morning in our worship. Consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to come together, as is the habit of some. I had this, but it's so easy to fall out of that habit. We're talking about that in one of my classes, you know, that we have these habits that we form, and, you know, good habits and bad habits, and, you know, devotion. I'm talking about devotion to God, and I'm not just talking church stuff. I'm talking about actual, you know, relationship with God stuff. It's a habit that's a great one to create and great one to have, but it's one that's so easy to fall out of. But then some of these other habits are so easy to fall into in that place. And it's one of those things. So when we stir up one another, we're keeping that fresh. We're keeping that relationship fresh. We're keeping that communication open for God. Because he says, encouraging one another. He's not talking about just, hey, I hope you're doing great today. Now encouraging one another in the faith, because here there's an urgency to this. And it says, and all the more as the day is drawing near. That day has a capital D on it. What day is he talking about? Is it the day that Jesus comes and gathers everybody up? Is it the day that's like the last day that you might have a chance for this one person? Is it both of them? All the above, any of the above, any other mix in there? Consider, look, the urgency in Paul's voice here. You can hear it. All the more as that day draws near.
So when we're making these decisions about our relationships,
that stirring up is encouraging, is pouring into people and being that good brother or sister in Christ. It's a relationship that's built on faith, that's built on God, but it's down here on somewhere where it's tactile. It's something that we can reach out and touch. And it's a person that we can actually be with and talk about the deeper things of God. As I was preparing this, I had this great vision that came to mind about stirring up one another and rallying up one another and consider the good works and everything. And Wes, I'm glad you're here, because I thought only my boys would get this. So, but I want you to picture yourself sitting around a campfire. Okay? I know it's cold outside right now, and we're in February, and that idea of that campfire is awesome. We've sat around plenty of campfires in the wintertime, haven't we, bud? You know? So, I want you to picture this. And by the way, did you know that, is it possible, how about this question? And it can be rhetorical. Is it possible to sit around a campfire and not talk about stuff? Is it possible just to sit there and not talk about the deepest philosophical things and the most mundane things, you know, deep and philosophical of, you know, God and the universe and everything else, to the most mundane or even the most brilliant about how the cheese stretched on the grilled cheese in the Minden cafeteria when we were growing up? Brilliant. Whenever I see a cheese sandwich that stretches like this, it makes me think of high school or junior high and Christina's grandma, you know? So God is a genius with this campfire thing. You can't not talk about all sorts of stuff. And you can't not gather around it either, you know? Unless it's a fire created by a certain someone that we know that you can't get within a half a mile of. And that's referring to my scout guys right now. You know, you can't not talk about stuff and get together. But you know, eventually as you're sitting around this fire, you know, the fire starts to die down, it begins to ash over, right? And you got to do something to it. Now you could get up and you could go throw another log on the fire, but you know what? That wood is all the way over there and it's heavy and somebody usually has a stick. You can stir that thing up and try to get some more flame out of that to try and stir that fire up so we can have more time together. We can have more conversation. That's the stirring up that we're talking about here, because you know, that fire that we're all gathered around, we're all gathered around a common flame. God is that light that we're all gathered around. And when that fire dims out, you know, it's not the campfire that needs stirred up in this case. It's us. We've walked away from the fire a little bit, or our fire is kind of dimmed out a little bit, and we need somebody to come and stir the embers for us a little bit, to fire us back up. Bring us back, hey, I got some more weird stuff to talk to you about. Let's get around our flame. Come together, stir one another up to good works, to just talk about God is definitely being good works. That's just one thing I picture when considering stirring up one another, you know, enjoying this time around that common flame. And you know that back in the Old Testament days, speaking of flames, Back in the Old Testament days, the tabernacle and the temple days, you know, the altar where they sacrificed everything. They were never allowed to let that fire go out. Tabernacle days, probably the only time that fire was allowed to go out, and they probably took it with them, was when they moved from one campsite to the other. If you go back to Leviticus 6, and it says that never let that fire go out. And the priests will put wood on it every morning, and they'll tend it, but don't let that fire go out. It's a representation of God, that fire in our lives. Don't let that fire go out. First Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are a priest. Did you know that? We're all priests. We're all professors of Christ. It says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim his excellencies. Which, by the way, apparently Microsoft doesn't like that word, excellencies. I think it's a really good word. Excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. A light that never goes out. So in other words, we're supposed to continue stoking each other's fires and not let that fire go out. Those priests, those Levitical priests, they had to keep that fire lit and that fire going. And you know what? That's our job too, is to keep each other's fire lit and fire going. Stir one another up. As a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And it's not optional. It's not like saying, now I'm not one of those priests. Yes, you are. Go back to Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples. He didn't say some of you. That's a command. It wasn't a desire. It wasn't a wish. It wasn't an opinion. It wasn't an option. It was the great commandment. You're a part of that royal priesthood right here. And you keep that fire going in others by proclaiming his excellencies, his greatness, his glory, and honoring him in people's lives, and keep pouring into people. And remember, all the more as the day draws near. That sense of urgency. What does the Bible say about friendship, by the way, and being friends? I know some of you ladies, like this one, Proverbs 27:9 says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from earnest counsel. Couldn't help but think of all the oils floating around my house that are sitting on shelves that do some weird stuff, I don't know, and smell up the place. And I know that there's more than just making the house smell good that's involved in it. There's health benefits, right? There's emotional benefits, and you know, they even help you sleep better at night. I'll testify to that one, okay? Maybe that's why Christina has the thing on my side of the bed. I don't know. So anyway, the oil and perfume, that they make the heart glad, you know, because they penetrate. It's soothing balm. And that's what we're to be to each other. Makes the heart glad and makes things pleasant and enjoyable. Much like my presence and friendship to y'all, just so you know. Never mind. No, much like our friendship to each other. How about that? Can I just extrapolate a little bit more on that one then? I know that there's many more reasons, like I said, for all of this. But friends, true friends, have more benefits than just being fun and enjoyable to each other too. You know, they stir up one another. They provide good counsel. And sometimes that good counsel is just an ear, listening, you know, listening to what's being said, or a good eye, I guess, if you're texting, all, you know, which I know, it's the way it is, the world we live in, and that's, you know, it's fine. But good counsel, here he says, earnest counsel, true counsel. In other words, a friend that's not afraid to tell you the truth, though, too. Hey, you're screwing up a little bit. I think you need to get back in line over here. Or earnest counsel could be celebrating, do more of what you're doing. But there's that friendship part, that connection part that we're talking about. And knowing that you have friends that you can trust, that you can count on, makes the heart glad. There's that healing balm for the soul. And speaking of which, our friendship based on Jesus is because Jesus calls you friends. John 15:15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have told you everything that I'm doing and why I'm doing it and what I need you to do to keep telling more and more people why they need to know this." I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm laying it all out there. I'm giving you that earnest counsel of a friend, Jesus says. "For all that you have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." I'm giving it all to you. Everything you need for good friendships, for good counsel, for a good relationship with my Father, he says. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one and only begotten Son of God, calls you his friend. The one who left his Father's side in heaven to make a way for us to have peace with God and to have that path to eternal life with him, calls you friend. Doesn't call you servant, doesn't call you slave, doesn't call you peon, calls you friend. Calls you brother too. By the way, brothers and sisters. He calls you friend, and he enriches us. I know we talked about that a few weeks ago. Jesus enriches us. Another way that he does. Through that friendship, he enriches us. His friendship is definitely a healing balm for our soul, our eternal soul. And our friendship with each other should reinforce that friendship that Christ has for us. And have that same motivation. That motivation is loving God, loving each other, enriching each other, and being enriched. It's all built up to that. That you be enriched in Him in all speech and in all knowledge. Knowledge, experience, that kind of knowledge. Experiencing God, experiencing Jesus, experiencing each other in that relationship and being enriched by it. Love God, love others, enrich others, and be enriched. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this family that you've called us into, this gathering of friends and this community of friends in Christ and in your Son that we have to enrich our lives. And Father, we pray for that wisdom that comes from you to develop those friendships and deepen those friendships and rely on them in the good times and the bad times as we continue to follow the path that you've set out before us. That path to eternal life with you. That path of salvation. But that path also into other people's lives to give that same message, that same desire to them. Father, help us stir up one another. And keep that stirring going, and keep that flame, that big flame going. To keep those conversations going that are around that flame. Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom and your love and your care and your Son and your Spirit. That you enrich our lives through all of this and so, so much more. So as we're thanking you so much for being enriched, help us never forget to be enriching as well. But be enriching through your Spirit and for your glory. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.